Okay, go ahead and get ourselves started today. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odle, Chair of the BZA, and we'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the other members of the BZA. At the tables across the room are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance back here. Pursuant to BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion and a second, and then further discussion among board members, and then finally a vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow for an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have previously been presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium in the front and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions by BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Scobie to call the roll.
Daniel Odle.
Here.
Ebony James.
Here.
Don Horton.
Here.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
All right, great. As we get started here, need to ask if I could get a motion for approval of last month's minutes.
Motion to approve last month's minutes.
A motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'll abstain.
And I abstain.
2 abstentions and 3 approvals. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. No old business this month, so moving straight into new business. 1A22BA, it's a Sheila Smith, 601 Fern. Come on up to the podium for us. And while you're coming, I'll just go ahead and ask, are there any further comments from the city?
No, sir.
Thank you. State your name and address for the record, please, in the microphone.
My name is Sheila Smith, 601 Fern Street.
And Sheila, I think that podium is adjustable if you want to.
So I can step back.
That's fine.
Pretty good.
That might help a little bit there.
Yeah, and my size.
All right, and thank you. If you tell us about your request, please, and then what your hardship is.
Okay, I don't really know what y'all mean by hardship.
We can talk about it, but go ahead. Just tell us about your variance request.
I'm here because I put a fence up. I bought this house in 2018, and when I did, it was a bush line. Okay, and my driveway is in an alley. And coming out of my driveway, I couldn't see into the street. And also on the front part of my house is four-way stop sign. You couldn't see the stop sign. So, and at the same time, it's a lot of violence on that side of the street, which is lilac. So when I took the bushes down, I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I decided to put the fence up. I didn't know that it was a certain height you had to have it, but so my fence is 6 feet, but when I put it up, to the point where when you're coming out of my alley, you have great view of both sides of the street. And in the front of my house, you can see the four-way stop sign from every angle, coming down, coming up, coming across. So it's not causing any interference in vision as far as traffic is concerned. And like I said, I didn't know you had to have a permit, and the person that put it up evidently he didn't know. And so when I got the violation, it says something about, I got it in my pocketbook, it needed to be 5 feet behind the front lot line. My fence is 30 feet. It starts 30 feet from the street. So I'm thinking it's not in violation. I don't know. That's 30 feet on one way. And then I think the other way was 17 feet. I don't know. He did a draft of it. So
Okay, when you say 30 feet, I'm just looking at your photos
here. Yeah, that's what he measured. When he measured
30,
it, he
put 30 it, feet, the side street there was, what's the name of that side street?
30 feet was from Fern.
Which is which street?
That's the front of the house.
The front of the house?
Mm-hmm. That's where, yeah, where the stop sign is.
Okay.
And then Lilac is the side street.
Sure. And just to answer your question about hardship, hardship are typically things that are tied to the land. It's the stuff that we're allowed to say, provide a variance on. So things like you have some sort of topographic issue with your site, or if you had a sinkhole, or if you had, sometimes we're allowed to consider two front yards or some other legal circumstances that create physical hardship. So typically they're geographic things, size, shape, soil, relative to the property itself. And those are the hardships that we are generally allowed to consider and say yes to, and what standard that we measure a variance request to. Mm-hmm. So that's what we mean
okay.
when you say that. And I noticed in reading your application, it didn't have a real, what we would use as a typical standard definition of a hardship in it. So that's why I was asking you, what is your hardship for the variance request?
I don't really have a hardship, but, you know, it's just, for me, it's a safety measure for me and my grandchildren, and it's a barrier for noise.
Sure.
You know, it's been two killings, one on Lilac and one on Fern in that same area where I am. Sure. So. That's what I consider hard.
We may have a couple other questions for you, but just from a process standpoint, let me ask real quick, is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance request? No one's raising their hand. What other questions do we have for you?
I have an issue or a question for staff. If the fence were cut back to the front building line, would it be in compliance, or would it still be out of compliance?
That 42 inch maximum height is not only the front, but also the corner side. So the entire fence would need to come down to 42 inches in height.
If she had a neighbor, instead of, if it weren't on a corner and there was another house, instead of Lilac Avenue, if there was a neighbor right there, would that,
if that were an interior side yard,
interior side,
then you are correct,
but it would still
only
have to be
that
back,
which is in front of the house.
So if it were moved back to the building line, that would,
correct,
then at that point it would be in compliance, provided there wasn't a street there.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay,
well, it'd be 5 feet behind the front building line. So if Lilac five was another lot, it would be 5 feet behind that,
5 feet behind the building line.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I think I missed that piece, but how would she, I guess my question would be, so how can she bring this into compliance? Is it possible, or is it just the height is wrong for where it's located?
Lower it down to 42 inches.
Lower it down.
The whole fence? So what do it mean by 5 feet behind the front lot line? Because the definition I looked up for that, I'm already at that. So y'all got a different definition for it?
No, that was a hypothetical situation for a lot that is not something that you have.
That's what she marked on my violation she gave me. And she highlighted it.
Our board member was asking that question just for context. Does that help?
The reason I was asking the question is a hypothetical. Because there could be, again, I don't want to define your hardship, but sometimes when they're, you being on a corner lot could be interpreted as a hardship in turn, but you would still have to bring that fence back to 5 feet behind the front of your house, the front building line. You'd have to bring it 5 feet back, assuming you weren't on Lilac. If you had a neighbor next door as opposed to being right on the street, that would be in compliance. I'm trying to find a middle ground in my head for how to bring your fence somewhat into compliance and somewhat within the character of the neighborhood without having to cut the whole fence down to 5 feet. But again, I'm not, I don't want to try to change your application here from the dais. I was just trying to wrap that around in my head.
I have a question for the staff. Is this a scenario where from 42 inches to 72, it could have a, it could be more open, more transparent there, or no, it has to be cut down all the way?
Yeah, it's just a solid fence is prohibited.
Okay. So the another way that it could be brought into compliance is to, it could still be 72 inches, just from 42 to 72, it's more transparent. So perhaps we've said this for another application, cutting every other board or something like that as a way to create transparency.
The photos that we're looking at only show a portion of your fence in place. Is that you intend to wrap it all the way around the house?
No, that's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You talk about noise.
That lilac is a very aggressive street. It's a lot of high speed traffic. It's a lot of violence going on in that area. Right before I got my fence put up, a young man was killed. I could sit on my back porch and right where he got killed. There was a lot of shootings in that area. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I worry about my grandkids and myself as well. So that's what I mean by my safety measurement.
But with that consideration, you still don't plan to wrap the fence all the way around?
No, I have no intentions on putting it all the way around.
Okay.
I put it there when I took the bushes up. You know, it was easier for the kids to get to the street. So sure. I had to put something back up.
That part I understand.
Chairman Odle?
Yes, sir.
Can I provide additional context straight sure. out of the code?
Yeah.
Okay. Accessory structures and uses 10.3L, fences and walls. 1B indicates there is no limit on the height of privacy fences, walls, or open fences. Part A. From 5 feet behind the front building line forward to the front lot line in the corner side yard, privacy fences and walls are limited to 42 inches. That's what you're hearing. And the next sentence says open fences do not have a limit. Then when we go to the definition of open fences, it's a fence that has over its entirety more than 50% of the superficial surface consisting of regularly distributed openings. So for instance, if you take out every other slat, that's an open fence.
Did you know you could?
Well, that is the total height of the fence, 50% of it or above 42 inches.
I believe we've been allowing that, which is over 42 inches, to be open. Is that accurate?
We have, yes.
Okay.
That's been our interpretation.
Well, that's a little better. Do you understand what they're...
No, I didn't really understand what he said.
I don't want to explain because you all... She said she didn't understand what we were just talking about. Maybe we could explain that a little bit more detail.
So you strike a line 42 inches above the bottom of the fence and then cut out every other slat above that line.
And that would meet the code.
Okay, say it again. Take out slats?
Yes, above 42 inches. So 42 inches and below could be what you built. It's the solid fence. Above 42 inches,
I need to take out a slat.
Every other slat could be removed, and that would actually meet code.
Okay, so take out a slat. Don't cut down.
You don't have to cut the entire fence. It's every other slat above 42 inches. That makes sense?
Maybe, I've got a picture for you,
maybe
ma'am.
Maybe we can draw a picture.
You're saying you pick up from the ground and measure 42 inches up and just remove.
And we've seen other fence styles with a decorative open top.
Every other one cut down.
I know that's not how this was designed initially, but.
I don't know. I still, okay, but can you still explain to me about the 5 feet behind the front lot building? Because my definition of that is I'm already in compliance. So I don't understand why you're saying I'm not. And that's what she got highlighted on this violation.
Yeah.
So I'm not understanding that. What's 5 feet to y'all? 5 feet behind the front building line forward to the front lot line.
Sure, I'll try to walk you through this and explain to you what the code is talking about with regards to yards. So your main house is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Fern Street, this is the street that you're addressed on. This is your side street, Lilac Street. Your front yard, and the requirement of a fence is to be 5 feet behind. So this is the front building line of your house that fronts along Fern Street. So the code says with regards to a fence, 5 feet behind this front building line is where a fence can go in this front yard with a maximum height of 42 inches.
Okay, so all the way to my front porch.
So you could put a fence in this front yard starting 5 feet behind this line moving forward to the front of your property, and the max height it could be would be 42 inches if it was a solid fence, a privacy fence. If you did an open fence, which is the more than 50% distributions throughout the fence, there's not a height limit on that. The corner side here is this building line of the house. So everything moving forward towards Lilac Street. So what the code says here is you can have a fence that runs parallel to that building facade line, and it can be a privacy fence, and it can be 6 feet, 8 feet, but anything forward of that building line has to be 42 inches, a maximum height if it's a solid fence. Now, if it's an open fence, which again is one that has 50% or more openings, it can be 6 foot, 8 foot, however tall you want to build it. But it's the fact that it's a privacy fence and it's 6 feet tall and it's beyond this building facade line. So it's created into what is this is your corner side between the house and Lilac Street.
So it don't matter the distance from the street in the fence.
Right. It does not. It's the fact that it's beyond this wall of your house right here, and it's 6 feet in height in this area.
But less than 50% of my house is
no, open. It's not your house, it's 50% of the fence. So it's saying that there's two fences they're talking about here. There's a privacy fence, which is a solid fence. And
that's what I got.
That's what you did, yes, ma'am. And then there's an open fence, which is an open fence is kind of like a picket fence. It's basically saying, it's a fence that has 50% or more openings distributed throughout the length of that fence. So if this is the length of your fence, it's saying that there are openings in half of this, like a picket fence would be, instead of a solid fence. So the fact that it's a solid fence, the code limits you in this area to 42 inches in height. So if you took this fence and you removed every other slat, we would consider that 50% open fence. So you could keep that.
Remove every other slat all the way down.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you know, first of all, did you know you could do that? And keep the fence. And so I think, and I don't, I mean, the board has to vote, and I can't speak for the entire board, but you're, I'm going to guess that maybe a hardship on this is going to be a little challenging for us to come across, mm-hmm. potentially. If it is, you could take off every other slat, and your fence would be fine at the height that it is, or you can cut it down to the 42 inches that the code calls for and leave it as a solid fence the way it is. Do you, if you wanted to take off every other board, we could simply drop the variance request right now, and you could, I think, go do that, interpreting this correctly. And we would be happy to do that as a board. And that's why I'm putting this out there to you.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference? Or we can move forward with your variance request and we can make a motion and vote and move forward in the normal way.
So if I decide to do that, I mean, look, I already done paid for a variance.
So. Well, you have, and you're absolutely right to ask us to go ahead and vote.
I asked questions. I asked a lot of questions before I even had to do that.
Well, and that's I get that point.
Nobody ever told me.
You have to take that up with the city directly on that. Sometimes that's the way it works. We get into these meetings and, you know, what the code says comes to light because of some of the questions we ask. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to fault the city for that.
Yeah.
But you have every right. If you want us to move forward through this process, I'm not trying to convince you to not do that.
Yeah.
So you're welcome to say, well, I want you to go ahead and vote and tell me, you know, answer my variance request. We're happy to do that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Ms. Smith, just to be clear, maybe this might help you. If you want a privacy fence, these are the areas where you can have it. If you wanted to actually have privacy in your backyard, you could do this this line here. You'd have to move it, but that could be solid along this line and 5 feet here. That could be, so this whole area could be completely private.
Yeah, if, the back of the house is just an alley.
It's just an alley. Yeah, you'd have to come across here.
The only thing I'm worried about is lilac.
So lilac. So
that was my main.
Yeah, she's saying she's not. She doesn't care about a wraparound fence. That's not what you're looking for.
So
moving that fence is going to cost her more than adjusting the height or increasing the transparency. Am I falling with what you're maybe thinking?
Yeah, because I don't plan on putting no more fence up. And like I said, I had to save to put that up. I should have probably inquired about stuff like this. I would have went by regulations,
sure.
But I did not.
It happens.
It was, you know.
So one other option that we've allowed is, so if like Peter said, say this was a 6 foot fence, you'd snap a line at 42 inches all the way down. And then the remaining top of that fence, you could remove half of the board there and it would comply. Or if you could get your fence person to come back out, I think we've accepted some sort of maybe lattice work or some sort of design that maintained that 50% above the 42 inches. So there are a few different options instead of just having a fence with open slats along the way. So
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want us to proceed with your variance request right now, I'm happy to do that. We'll go through the rest of our process. But I wanted to give you the choice. And frankly, your choices are still there. We can go ahead and move forward with your variance request, make a motion, and proceed in normal order.
Okay.
But I think that should be helpful because there are some choices there that you haven't explored yet if you wanted to pursue that.
Yeah.
Okay. You want us to proceed?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great.
Mr. Chairman, do you mind also, I don't know if anyone explained, but what's the impact of moving forward versus not? Like, what does that do? Is there any impact to?
I don't believe there's any impact according to the rest of her choices because she still has the option of the transparency every other board, transparency above 42 inches every other board, or
she can appeal our decision too.
Right. Mr. Elder just threw out a third option of doing a lattice work across the top, all the way across above 42 inches, which would also give her the needed transparency. So it's above 42 inches that you need to figure out the transparency for And that's still a pretty private fence doing it that way.
Yeah.
But it has, you can't be 100% privacy above 42 inches.
Right. Thank you. I was meaning for what's the impact of her withdrawing versus us going through and actually answering. There is no impact to her there.
I don't think that practically other than her variance request.
Well, I think there would be a judgment that she could appeal to council if you went forward.
That's true.
Exactly.
That would be it. Otherwise, it
just okay. Otherwise, she'd have to apply again. So that would be actually a potential benefit.
Yeah. Okay. So you could appeal that. And then also, I think for me, the biggest thing is, like you said, the hardship piece of it. And I know we'll be able to talk about that. But okay, I just wanted to make sure everyone understood what that looked like.
Okay. Then I would be to, if there's a motion from the board.
I'll make the motion, make a motion we deny item 1-A-22-VA for lack of hardship. I'm in agreement with the board, or so the comments of the board and staff. I was even thinking just moving the fence back, just the fact that it extends beyond the front of the house is one of the issues I have with that tall of a privacy fence. We had that issue in another case a few months ago, where we denied it as well. So that was my concern. That's where I was going initially with trying to find a hardship with it, there being a corner lot. But at any rate, I think there's a solution out there for you. So there's a way for you to bring the fence into compliance without a huge amount of cost, which is again, a standard that we have to consider in granting variances, but you can also obviously appeal the decision to council.
We have the motion there technically is just to deny 1A22VA as it's submitted.
Second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion or questions? I would say just that it doesn't have a technical hardship. And so I would encourage you to follow up with the city with all the options that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of motion, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. The motion, the variance fails on motion. Okay, next item is 1B22VA. 1005 Kennesaw Avenue. Here, Alden, I'm not sure I'm going to butcher the name. Gartner.
She's on via Zoom. Give us just a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Alden Gartner, 1005 Kennesaw Avenue.
Thank you very much. Alden, before you get started, let us ask city if there's any further comment real quick.
No additional comments.
No additional. All right. If you would, tell us about your variance request and the nature of the hardship.
Okay. We would like to add a master suite to our home. And the only place that we could do it would be the southern side of our house. And our lot in that area is on an angle. So in order for us to, you know, build a lot that, or I guess build the addition that is a straight line, we would go over the zoning setback at the back end of the lot.
Okay.
Daddy.
Let me ask real quick, if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this. Is there anyone online? Speaking of opposition. Okay, very good. Alden, you said that it's the only place that you can expand your house.
Yeah, so we can't go out the front because there's also a setback.
Because the front yard setback.
Yes, and we can't go out the side because the side yard setback. And actually going out the corner side, the other side of our lot, I It's hard for me to know how to understand how that would work with the flow of the house. We've thought about that option and just can't quite figure it out, but also we're going with the setback going that way too.
Okay.
So as I understand it, the addition is going south side. So it's really, side setback then.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, the interior side setback of the
house. You're on a corner lot, so the way we're looking at it, it's your house faces Kennesaw, however your driveway's off of Skagit.
That's right. Yeah, and there is another, there should be another document that shows the, what it is that we want to do and where that sort of, like where that becomes an issue.
I think I see it. Yeah, it's hard to follow on the tablet here. Okay.
Because it's actually kind of hard to see that the lot is at a slant. Yeah, there it is, that one.
Okay, any other questions?
Daddy will be home soon. Okay.
I'll go ahead and make a motion.
Sure.
We approve item 1-B-22-VA due to hardship, the shape of the lot, and there's really no other place to do this addition that makes sense and fits within the character of the neighborhood. So motion we approve.
I second the motion for the reasons described.
I would add that it's seems like a very minor variance.
It does. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, you too.
All right, next up, 1C22VA, and that is Lynn Johnson, 3643 Sevierville Pike. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Lynn Johnson, 724 Taylor Road.
Yes, sir.
I have Mr. Sam Tabia here, who is the owner of the Roundup restaurant.
Okay, great. And then also, let me ask briefly, are there any further comments from the city?
No further comments.
No further comment. Mr. Lynn, if you'd tell us about your variance request here and then what your hardship is, sir.
The city is planning on putting a new sidewalk on our east and north property lines. And as a result of that, we're losing approximately, we're basically losing for between 20, well, we're starting out with 22 spaces and going down to 16. That makes it very difficult for this business to basically stay in business. The hardship, of course, is deprivation of use of the site. And I think I sent in recently, and then sent it to Ms. Scooby as far as the views of where we want the setbacks move to as far as the north entrance on Sevierville Pike and the east entrance on Lancaster. Right now, and it was kind of appropriate, we had the county police stop a suspect in the east property line, and it's almost 60 feet across there now, which is about twice what it's going to be if we actually do the renovation. The view you're looking at right now is along Lancaster, looking to the south, and that would be where the setback would be on that side of the building. And I think the next photograph is actually looking to the west along Sevierville Pike at the location of the setback on that side of the site. And the next two that one didn't come out. Yeah, there it is. That's on the other side, looking to the east along Sevierville Pike, where the setback would be on that side of the building. And as you can see, if you review the site plan, this building meets no setbacks. Actually, that corner, go back down. One more, there you go. That corner of the building is actually about 4 or 5 feet into the right of way on that side. That's the north side. And then the next photograph, I think, is a northern view of the entryway, looking to the north along Lancaster. No, it's the opposite. There it is, right there. And that's the location of where the setback we're asking for would be on the Lancaster side of the building.
Okay, thank you, sir. Real quick, let me ask if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this request. Seeing none, did you have anyone else you wanted to speak, or were you just letting us know that Sam was here? It's okay if you don't want to.
He's going to let me do all the talk.
Yes, sir.
Chairman Odell?
Yes, sir.
Can I provide a little bit more context?
Sure.
What's currently out there is kind of wide open as far as a lack of structure for the parking, and there is parking that backs out onto Sevierville Pike. Applicant has spent a lot of time working with our engineering department to come up with a safe parking lot, which you're seeing today.
Oh, I failed to mention that the residents behind the building that would be to the west, we actually had it rezoned to match the zoning for the restaurant itself.
And it looks like from the topography that it's fairly severe slopes in the backside that you can't expand parking in that area.
If you look at the topo on that site,
mm-hmm.
and you go back to the residential site, which is to the west of us, which is incorporated, we're going to actually do a one lot subdivision to incorporate that site. And the way that the new parking lot would work is at Lancaster would be the high point, and then we would maintain less than a 10% slope around to the north entry, which would be on Sevierville Pike.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that checked out. There was some question from engineering about that. And as it stands right now, those elevations are going to work out really well because we actually have a special pollution abatement requirement at that end of the site. And we will be able to put an interceptor there for all the runoff from the parking lot, which basically we don't really have now, except that we've got the residents still there and there is a grass area there.
Which property did you say you had rezoned?
The residence to the west of the building. If you look on the site plan up there, it's to the left, and we just had it rezoned to match the restaurant zoning. Yeah, this site plan that you're looking at now basically incorporates that site. There's a dashed line there that indicates where the residential site was, and that it was a what I call a shotgun site, basically 50 feet wide by 100 and some feet deep.
This is being done in advance of the city's work, right? Okay. And so you don't have any immediate plans to go ahead and make changes yourself on your site, but this allows you in the future, or are there plans to go ahead and do this work now?
Say again.
I'm just asking, are you going to build out your parking lot this way right now, or are you, this is...
Well, then, what you're looking at is basically our first shot at, you know, at what the parking lot's going to be. And we have waiting in the wings, Batson and Himes, to actually do the engineering. I'm an architect, so...
Sure. Other question?
And the hardship is it's caused by the city's reworking of the...
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know that funding of this sort of thing is not considered to be a hardship, but the bottom line is for this restaurant, since it's been there since, well, we looked at some old maps and things, and as best we can tell, this thing's been there since 1953. So Sam got it, I think Sam bought it in 2003, and we've done several projects, adding handicapped bathrooms. We've had some re-roofing and some structural things that we've done to that build.
Sure.
I'll make a motion. We approve item 1-C-22-VA due to the hardship constrained site. There's some topography issues. Obviously, the site is getting smaller as a result of city improvements. And so moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion is second. I just add, I think that safety is another reason. Overall, that corner is not great for pedestrian access right now, and I appreciate the city going after trying to make that a little bit safer corner. So it seems to make sense to me. all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next up is 1D22VA, 0 South Bell Street. Kevin, if you could tell me how to say your last name, I don't want to just, is it, I'm sorry, is it Kevin?
No, I'm Jim Hatfield. Jim I'm Hatfield. With KCDC.
There's Kevin a, the last name of the applicant is legible?
Legible.
Legible. Well, that's funny.
Yeah, Kevin's joining us via Zoom.
Very good.
And Matt Brazil is also here from CEC.
Tell me your name again, I'm sorry.
Jim Hatfield. I'm Director of Real Estate and Redevelopment for KCDC, 901 North Broadway.
Thank you, sir. Is there any further comment from the city on this item?
No.
Very good. Jim, if you could tell us about the variance request and the hardship.
Sure. So I'll provide you all with a kind of a high-level overview of what this variance is for and the context here. So this appeal is for part of our third phase of redevelopment at Austin Homes. For all you who may or may not know about Austin Homes, it's a KCDC owned parcel. It's about a 22 acre parcel in total. It's what you see on your screen today. There's three phases. The first two phases are under construction. As I mentioned, this request is for the third phase that we're in design on. This redevelopment has come out of a fairly lengthy and well vetted master plan that was established and developed in 2019. And our goal with these three phases is to kind of fulfill that master plan and build out the project in accordance with that. And so the appeal that we're looking for here is some relief on density for the lot in the middle of the site. And Kevin and Matt, who are here as well from our architectural and civil team, can kind of go into greater detail. But primarily the hardship that we're dealing with here is trying to meet the number of units and the overall vision of the master plan that was developed in 2019. And while at the same time dealing with pretty significant topographic issues on this site, if anybody has driven by the site or knows the site by and large is sits on a hillside, starting all the way from Summit Hill, kind of moving north all the way up to Bell Street. And so in order for us to get our density and number of units in accordance with our master plan, but also since this is a former public housing site, and we're redeveloping former public housing units and also affordable housing across the entire site. In order to meet those requirements and goals, we have to have certain lots that have density on them where we can get the density. And this particular lot three is where we were able to get that density. There's several of these other sites and parcels that we have extreme topography issues. One other thing I'll just mention, and without this variance, we would lose some open space, particularly on lot two, in order to pick up these additional units on that particular parcel. If we move some of the density over there, we would lose an open space that we're currently programming in as a public park and an open space. So we really don't want to do that. And our hope here is that due to the topographic issues associated with the site, y'all would be willing to grant this this variance request.
Okay, thank you very much. I need to ask if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this request. Seeing none. What questions do we have for the applicant?
We're talking about lot area, not square footage of individual units, correct? We're talking about the lot, correct. Actual lot size, not. Point of clarification. How many units again? I'm sorry, total.
So in total, this third phase is 158 units is what we're we have planned currently.
And how many would it be without this variance?
So since there's two different building types on this particular parcel, we'd have to go back to the design team and figure out if we take them out of the multifamily building or the townhome building. There's different square foot requirements for each of those designations. One thing I will mention, though, we have preliminarily looked at this, and unfortunately, where we would reduce some of the units would be out of the multifamily building. There's a few that are on the ground level where the slope of the hill kind of intersects them, and so they're not great units because they have, we have to kind of grade around them, if you can imagine. So what would happen is if we pull them out of there, we'd end up with a fairly large kind of blank face retaining wall on that mm-hmm. level of the building. And so we've actually, we think it's best for the design intent for the neighborhood as well to have those units there so that it's programmed with windows and a balcony, whereas otherwise we'd just deal with blank kind of facade space. Right. For that portion of the site, and then we'd have to figure out where else to remove some units. So Kevin's on the phone. To answer your question specifically, we'd have to go back and take a look at how many units we'd lose, but I would say order of magnitude, it's somewhere between 6 and 8 units probably.
Mm-hmm. This is Kevin Legible with Southeast Venture. To add on to that, what is currently shown is pertaining to lot three is 61 multifamily units and 6 townhomes.
So that's 3 buildings as I'm looking at it then, correct?
That's correct.
No, I mean, this site has a lot of topography issues, no doubt about that. You know, I think this is a high density area. We're essentially asking for more density, which I don't have a problem with. It's a big, big public project and ambitious project. So I think there's a legitimate hardship here and meets the standards for a variance. So I'm going to make a motion. We approve item 1-D-22-VA.
Motion to approve 1D21VA. Is there a second?
A second.
Motion and a second. I tend to agree. I think that this is a balance. There's always a balancing act in a new project. And considering the topography of the overall site. They've laid it out well and planned it well. Variances run accordingly. So, any further comment? Okay, we have a motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. 1D, 22 VA passes as submitted.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 1E, 22 VA. Michael Mincer, 7511 Sheffield. Drive, if you could state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Josh Loop, and I am located at 7522 Sheffield. So I'm here on behalf of Michael Mincer. He's my father-in-law. Okay. He was unable to attend or to connect via Zoom.
Okay, that's just fine. Is there any further comment from the city on this one?
Yes, sir. If, as you read the description, there's reference to some special needs of a grandson. We look at that very seriously. I reached out to our city law department as well as our ADA coordinator to evaluate if any reasonable accommodation would be granted in this situation. And it came back that no, the increased size would not be needed for the reasonable accommodation, and that a standard sized accessory structure would meet those needs.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Josh, if you could tell us about your variance request and the nature of the hardship.
Yeah, so the hardship would be restricted use based on the limited size. So to that point, speaking to the court, I'm not sure who that was. Specifically right now, I've got a 3-car garage across the street that's overflowing with mobility devices, assistive devices, therapeutic devices, et cetera. So the plan was to, he was going to build a building large enough to help him store whatever personal items he may have in addition to those type of items. So yeah, I mean, if that's gonna come straight from their recommendation, I'm sure that falls loudly on your all's ears. It may be best to, that is our specific hardship. So best to let you vote. And in the meantime, appeal that. It sounds like, not to jump the gun, but I see where that's headed. If that's the recommendation. And
why don't you go ahead and tell us about it more though, so that we know a little bit more about the context you're talking about and so forth. That's, you want to.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can. I mean, essentially we need the room.
We listen to them, but we really do make our decisions here. So go
okay.
ahead and-
Fair enough. Yeah, not, so I don't want to jump the gun, but so we need to have the room to help house this type of equipment. So in addition to, it's not my son, who is his grandson, but I also coach a wheelchair basketball team. They're based out of Atlanta. So we have tons of wheelchair equipment on hand all the time. So I'm pretty much in charge of maintaining and facilitating all that equipment. So it's not commercial by nature, it's personal by nature. I'm a volunteer. And so, you know, it's not that we need a commercial type of building. We need this additional space to help facilitate some of that. So it was going to be a nice gesture. He's a excellent grandfather, great father-in-law. It was going to be a nice gesture for him to allow me to use a large percentage of that building, you know, for those type of activities.
Okay. Thank you very much. I need to ask for just a matter of process. There's no one in the room, but is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Anybody? Mind you? What questions do we have?
I'm trying to understand where on the site this accessory building is going to be located. I see the some elevations, but I don't see, and I see a site plan, but I don't see on the site plan. It's not clear where the
go to the world map, Grant, and
I think that's it right there at the top right of that picture, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I just was looking. I didn't even see it back in the corner there.
So there's pretty and so you've got
okay.
Let's see here. So Chef, yeah, so that would be it. And so, but Nosdell wraps around. It would carry on. There's pretty dense vegetation kind of between Vinazdale as it carries on in that structure. It's, I mean, it's pretty much hidden from all plain view. You wouldn't see it from any road. I don't know if that's a concern of your all's.
Is that on the same lot or is that on a separate?
So it's probably a separate parcel. I don't know that for certain, but I know that this property was acquired in stages.
Yeah, I think it's been one lotted since then.
Okay, I'm just looking at the KGIS. It doesn't look like it either.
Right. The maps aren't updated, okay. But I think it was that original lot there. And then they purchased this additional sliver of land behind mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And it just may not be showing up on the ward map.
I think I understand everything so far. I just want to make sure. So the hardship is what you described at the beginning, that you just need the extra space for the storage. Is that correct?
Yeah, restricted use, I guess, would be the technical hardship. Yeah.
And everything falls within the setbacks. It's just the size of the structure.
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
Wanted to point out to the board as well, on page one of the application packet, there's quite a bit more detail in there as well about how the applicant was a car dealer for more than 40 yeah. years, recently retired, has purchased five automobiles that are near and dear to his heart and very valuable, some that haven't been driven in over 30 years and wants to leave to his grandchildren.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think for me too, as I was reading, I was just trying to figure out, I think that's why I was looking at the hardship piece of it, and it's not, to me, I guess, aligning with that piece of it. Can you explain how that ties into that as well?
Yeah, can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
So we talked about the extra storage space, and I was just trying to see how, so you need the storage space for that as well. Is it also supposed to be for the cars too?
So, yeah, so he was going to build a building, and I kind of, you know, we got to talking, and we're like, hey, it would be nice to have this extra storage if you've got the room to build a building to hold all of these things. I live right across the street from him, across mm-hmm. Sheffield. So he sees my garage. He sees all of the overflowing equipment, et cetera. So he's like, well, hey, I've got to have something to store. You know, he's wanting to store personal, whatever he's got, you know, whether it's going to be the cars or various equipment. So he has his own personal use for it as well. So he's, you know, it's a collected effort of, hey, this storage facility would be nice for us to use as a family, right? From a standpoint of, you know, what he would specifically use it for, I don't know what size he would need. You know, it was more of a, hey, let's take care of all of this and store it and use it. And it'd be a nice facility to have.
I'm gonna make a motion to deny item 1-E-22-VA for lack of hardship. I think there's other means for which you could get relief in this situation. And again, as law department stated, and I read in the application, there's storing five automobiles is not a hardship. The reasonable accommodation has been determined from the law department. So there's not a hardship there. You know, you said yourself, you live across the street. You could build an accessory dwelling on your property that would meet the zoning code and accommodate storage. But unfortunately, I can't vote in conscience. I don't see a hardship, so we can't make a motion to approve. So I'm gonna make a motion we deny.
I second that motion.
And if I may, just before your vote, I just wanted to clarify from both the law department perspective, the ADA coordinator perspective, and our director's perspective, we absolutely do take into account the paralyzed grandson's medical conditions. The issue that we have with this particular application is that it seems to be an excess request when you look at the disability related need. And then also, as Chairperson Rosenberg just stated, you know, there isn't really an accommodation attached to storing five cars. So I just wanted to make that clear for the record.
All right, thank you. I think that makes sense. I think that makes sense. Yeah, the motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. So your 1E22 VA is denied.
Okay. And then to appeal, we've sure. got time to do that if that's what we choose.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it's nothing I need to do today. I can let him know and he can do that.
Right. You have 15 days
okay.
from today's appeal,
or okay.
today's decision to appeal to City Council.
Okay.
That decision.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. 1F22 VA, Tiffany Gentry, 1202 North Central. Yeah, is they here online?
Hey, you guys, can you hear me?
Yes, please state your name and address for the record.
Great. My name is Tiffany Gentry. I'm an architectural designer with R2R Studio. We are at 2575 Willow Point Way, Suite 105.
Okay, thank you very much. Give us 1 second. Are there any other comments from the city on this item?
No additional comments.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, Tiffany, go ahead and tell us about your variance request and the nature of your hardship, okay?
Okay, absolutely. So we're looking right here where we have the Hatch Project site. So we're at 1201 North Central Street. We're right at the corner there between West Anderson Avenue and North Central. So you can see our property lines labeled the dash dot dot, and you can see our building is sandwiched in between two existing buildings. And so we have a small sliver of property available at the front of our building. And we are doing a change of occupancy. We're going from its existing retail to now we are going to do partial retail, partial residential. So by our parking calculations, we would be required to have 13 spaces. And as you can see here, we showed a little diagram. We're not really able to fit one parking space on our lot. So our hardship is just literal square footage of our property.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance request online? There's not. All right, we can ask questions real quick here. Questions do we have for the applicant?
How many residential units are proposed?
We will end up having 10 apartments throughout the building on the basement, ground, and upper levels. Three apartments. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Where are those tenants proposed? Where are they going to park?
Right now, we're thinking these will be mostly local residents. So a lot of the people who live around in this area walk to and from work. And we do have here the required bicycle parking spaces that are required by code. So we're hoping they will be bicycle friendly and kind of be part of the downtown life where you are a lot more bipedal.
Tiffany, is there street parking on Anderson Avenue or Central?
Yes, there is. There's street parking on West Anderson and I believe a little bit on North Central. There's a bus stop, a CAT bus stop right outside of our building. So there's also easy access to public transit. If you look over to the left, we have a little diagram showing under our parking calculation where that bus stop is in location to our property. There we go, right there at the bottom. So any of the occupants or residents that would be leasing these apartments would be able to come out their door and immediately hop on the bus and go anywhere they needed to go downtown.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Board?
Have you consulted or considered leasing parking spaces, provided you did get tenants that own an automobile? Have you considered leasing spaces or providing spaces for those residents, future residents?
I think if there happened to be that situation in the future, I know there are some properties nearby that do have parking. They're not owned by our client, but if he felt the need to reach out to those adjacent owners, I'm sure that wouldn't be too much of an issue. But as I mentioned, that is the only piece of property we do, or our client owns. So at the moment, he doesn't have any access to anything other than the roads adjacent.
Okay. This is a common circumstance.
This one's a little tough for me.
Out this neighborhood.
Yeah, we've had a lot of cases on North Central in the last year or two for parking variances. My concern with this variance is with the 10 units of residential. Ideally, I know there are folks who can commute, who can take public transportation or bike, but we're still in a situation where a lot of folks own automobiles, and if this were keeping with the current use of retail, I think there's enough parking for retail considering the street spots, and there's some street spots obviously for some of the residential as well, but I have concerns on this whole stretch with parking, and we've denied variances in the past as a result of that. And I struggle with this because I want us to be consistent, and we have some parking challenges, and there's other property owners that I know of on this same block that have had to provide a lot more parking than others. And they're not even providing residential, they're for event facilities and other retail uses. So I struggle with this one, particularly going from just doing a zero parking. We've required down the road, I know we required a lease agreement with an adjacent property owner to provide parking spaces. I'd personally like to see something along those lines before approving something like this, but that's my opinion.
I would add to that, I would like to at least see some sort of effort to pursue a lease agreement.
I agree with that, those sentiments as well, especially 13 to zero. I don't even know if there's a middle ground to be had there, but I do think that's a bit of a stretch as well. And so I agree with the rest of the board members in that. I'm at least seeing some type of effort being provided in that area before going to zero.
Is there a number of residential units that you all would feel comfortable with not having additional automobile parking?
I don't know that. I think it's for us. We're not in that position because that's kind of creating some stuff there out of.
Okay,
nothing.
I was just curious because.
No, I
you
hear
just
that.
Mentioned that that 10 units seems like a lot, so I wasn't sure if there was something else at play that might be.
Sure.
That might help guide us.
Well, and I think Dawn may help speak to this historically, but honestly, this has been a fickle issue for this board for the last several years,
for a very long time
now, and it's gone been both ways. We've denied variance requests, and this is one of the most inconsistent issues in this neighborhood that this board has had. I'm of the mind that it's just zero lot line property, and I would treat it just like I think about it downtown. This is an extension of downtown. Everything that she said is correct. I would also argue that over on Anderson Street, there's plenty of parking. You drive that street right now, that entire neighborhood, there's plenty of walkable parking in that area. This property can utilize and take advantage of. And I wouldn't even futz with the bicycle parking. I would just assume people are going to park on the street in this neighborhood. Long term, this entire area is going to have an issue. And there's a ton of examples of properties to be renovated over there or to be renovated, be like kind to this circumstance, that this is going to continue to be a recurring theme. I like people trying to do leases as well. I personally want to encourage folks, if there's any place you can find a parking space, find it. But in a situation like this, to me, the request seems reasonable because it is as close to zero lot line. They won't be able to pull out back out into Central. So.
Where I push back on that is it's a change of use. If it were still maintained as a retail or a commercial space, I would agree with you. I would approve the variance because there's a legitimate hardship. They're not required to change the use. They're choosing to change the use, and there's an impact. There's an adverse impact. I would argue of adding 10 cars overnight, perhaps, or more, to the public infrastructure, which there is some, you're right, there's some parking on Anderson, but that's not provided necessarily, that's not supposed to provide per code, or, yeah. And so that's where the hardship comes in. I don't see a legitimate hardship there.
I would love to see retail main floor too, and I think that would make sense. The problem is that it is a two-story building, and in order to utilize actually it's a three-story too. I guess there's a basement to this building too, if I remember correctly. And
that's correct.
Is that basement gonna be built out into anything?
There will be three of the apartments in the basement.
Oh, really? Okay. You're not gonna renovate a building like this and just keep your retail, period, right? Mm-hmm. Your upstairs will end up being empty, vacant. So you're going to have at least some sort of change of use. Then we're talking about design aesthetics and the preferences between whether or not you agree with residential and first floor or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I would trend towards the same. I don't want residential first floor. I have built residential first floor. And I understand why sometimes guys choose, owners choose to do that. But that's my opinion.
As Daniel said, this has been going on for several years, and we have in the past given a lot of concessions to having no parking in the area. And my question for the city staff is, has there been any follow-up? Do we know what the saturation point is in this area?
No.
So from that, I would say that we're not at the saturation point, that you haven't had a lot of complaints or.
I will say that in other parts of the city that are under redevelopment, we hear about issues when new residents start parking and utilizing public infrastructure where they previously did not. And so, I know we heard about it further south on Central, where there's neighborhoods right next door, and they voiced their concerns.
And I think too, for me, with that in mind as well, is at what point do you keep, pushing it? Every time you come and then you do it again, and we do it again, and then the impact to me becomes even more adverse. Like, where do you draw the line, and how unique are those situations in which we would approve this? And based off what we talked about today, I think I'm just leaning towards the position that this request should be denied, but that's my opinion of it. I don't know. I'm just thinking about the other neighborhoods as well, because that's not, I guess, what I would expect if I was in those neighborhoods as well, for that parking to be used for that person, that purpose. And by us making that decision right now, we're making a decision that could impact them as well. So,
we're also making a decision, though, that will potentially, they can appeal to city council if it agrees with our interpretation. Mm-hmm. You're holding back redevelopment of a building that could probably stand to be renovated. And so there's an impact to the character of the neighborhood that direction, too. Think about.
Right.
And then I would also say, and now this is just where I've landed on this, as I've thought about this neighborhood a lot. is, you know, the market will tend to figure itself out, is kind of my overall opinion. Eventually, there's enough of an amount of demand where the parking solution will have to be created. And it becomes economically viable to think about a parking deck or some other kind of relief that can happen over there. Mm-hmm. So where I've landed on this neighborhood with these issues is any place, any property where you can find a single parking spot. I mean what I say, I'd like to see developer, owner, they're going to be renovating to find that parking spot. But from a reasonable use standpoint, we can't prevent someone from wanting to renovate their property when it's a zero lot line. They've got literally no place on the property to put a car. And I'm pro engineering's position on not pulling out into Central. So, or out into a major thoroughfare. You don't want folks pulling in and backing out into a busy street. So when I look at this particular circumstance, I legitimately don't see where they're going to put parking. And I guess even with retail, there's still going to be a demand. There's going to be there's a requirement even in retail.
My issue with retail is that it's folks parking in the street, doing their business, leaving. I have concerns about an additional 10 overnight parking cars being parked in. And there's no account for where those vehicles are going to be parked. Again, we can argue, and maybe it's 40% of those, however many it is. I don't know what the numbers are, but realistically, 10 units, I'd say there's going to be at least 10 vehicles
Sure. That
need to park somewhere.
But if they're not changing their occupancy and it's retail, what's the parking requirement for them when they pull a permit?
Being 3%.
If I could add just really quick, if we just with the retail that we have at the moment, where we would already be required to have 5 spaces just for the section of retail we have. So if we went full retail, we would have a requirement for even more than that.
And even retail, I would, you know, we've had issues that we've had, you and I have had to recuse from that where it was denied. And again, at this point, board member Christina stated, they haven't even attempted to negotiate any kind of lease agreement. There are surface lots nearby that could lease overnight parking. And there's too many cases that are popping in my head right now that where I know the owners went to that extent, went to the effort, and we still denied I don't think we ever gave a zero parking variance for, we've got an additional 20 units? Sorry, 20 units.
But the question residential. Is, again, we're kind of getting a little bit towards legislating in my mind in a way that to me becomes uncomfortable, because the question is, what is the hardship? Is there a hardship?
I
think that from every reasonable standard, the zero lot line is always qualified as a hardship.
Even with the change of use?
I think with a change of use is the difference there. I agree with you. If it were staying as retail, if the use were staying the same, I could agree.
Well, but even under the use staying the same, you're still going to have a variance for your parking.
Agreed.
Your line. Yeah. So where's the line? Now we're into just the semantics of the number.
As you said, this is something that we're not going to legislate, that council needs to legislate. And as you said so eloquently, the council needs to consider parking in this area, public infrastructure for parking. We've got a huge demand for parking along North Central. And the more we continue to, and we want to see redevelopment, obviously, and we've seen a great amount of redevelopment in this area. Yeah. There needs to be some consideration for parking infrastructure.
There does. I don't want to hold up an individual over that argument. You're asking, so every time this comes up in this neighborhood, we send it to city council.
We've held other property owners to that same standard. That's my issue, is consistency. We have held other property owners to that standard, and I think we should hold this property owner to the same standard.
Yeah. And also just think about the minimum adjustment necessary. Just going back to Christina's point, like, I think a big piece for me, and even in all of this, is that we've asked, even in my tenure on the board, which is very like much shorter than everybody else's, we've asked people to kind of go back and reconsider, like, what other ways can you do this where it wouldn't have this much of an impact? So, and maybe I don't know what that looks like, but at least just going back and trying before we make that, yeah, make that decision.
The other options, with the point you're pointing out, which is leasing some spaces at least.
Or lesser spots, 13 to zero. Maybe there's another number in between. I don't know, but I just think the minimum adjustment necessary piece is there. That's sticking out to me. Also the hardship. This is a typical.
I guess my question would be if there is, you know, a sweet spot of a number between 13 and zero that we can hit, if we can't even fit one parking space on our property, which is the only thing we truly own, is there, you know, there isn't really a sweet spot we can hit other than none, and maybe potentially adding additional bicycle parking or maybe giving them some sort of incentive. If you catch the bus, you get a free bagel or something. I don't know.
I think what I've alluded to, and I'll state it a little more explicitly, is looking at setting up a lease agreement with other property owners to accommodate for parking. And we've recognized that, I know, and the city's recognized that. I'll let the law department elaborate, but.
Just briefly wanted to also provide the board with the context that in the past, the BZA has made a motion to continue for a month to give the applicant time to negotiate and find shared parking and come back with whatever proof of good faith efforts that have been made. So just want to throw that out there, that that's something the board's done in the past as well.
Thank you.
Would the applicant be open to that in lieu of, I was going to make a motion, right now, as it stands right now, I'd make a motion to deny personally, but I'm happy to make a motion to defer. I guess we'd be deferring the item, correct?
Hold on one second. Let's, Peter.
I'd like to throw another wrench into this.
Please.
If you're going to provide for the able-bodied, you also have to provide for those with disabilities. So Article 11.8H, accessible parking cannot be shared. So that's why really this has to go down to zero, because if they provide parking for the able-bodied, it becomes discriminatory to those with disabilities. And so it gets wonky. We've had, and this is something that I won't try not to go down this rabbit trail too far. We've had discussions internally because there are some situations where you actually can provide accessible parking on a different lot and provide that route. That's the oddity. So I think we need to add some language into the code, which we're discussing right now, that provides the zoning official that opportunity when it makes sense. But right now we don't have that. So if they provide, say they get 10 spaces under a lease agreement, where's that accessible route? And how does somebody with a disability get from that spot to the primary function of this building?
Is that a new addition to the code, or has this always been a part of it?
Since 2020.
Okay. So I'm just wondering if we're saying we've always had an issue with that, that's a very material statement. Have we not considered that in other cases? I guess that's not the appropriate thing to talk about now since we're talking about this case specifically, but I think that's a material piece of information that I'm glad you're pointing that out now.
It's different when you've got a parking lot, which is your sixth parking space. So once you're talking about six or more parking spaces, you're talking about a parking lot. So if you only need to provide one, it's not a parking lot, or two. So then you don't have to provide in the parking lot an accessible space because it's not a parking lot.
So if they got a lease agreement for up to five spaces, they wouldn't need, okay.
Or if they got a lease agreement for up to 10 spaces, as long as that parking lot had a handicap accessible space, because it's shared parking.
But if it was a designated space, it'd be okay.
We had conversations about that. That space needs to be on the shortest accessible route.
Right.
So if it's already there, it's on the shortest route to the primary function of building A. But if you're going to share it with building B, rarely will it.
It could be leased, but not shared with another.
Okay. Leasing and sharing, they get jumbled. The shared parking references the lease. That's where we get into the leasing, is through the shared parking.
So it depends how the lease is worded, on whether the parking is considered shared.
For the zoning code, it's all shared.
Okay.
Mm. What's the minimum term of the lease? Is it 5 years?
Yes.
And they contain cancellation privilege?
I don't know. Yes.
They can?
We've honored in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a limit to the cancellation privilege allowed for in those leases?
There's not one specified in the code. We have been evaluating those on a case-by-case basis for reasonableness.
Okay. So if you have a 5-year parking lease and it can be canceled, is it really doing anything for you? I don't want to continue just to beat a dead horse, but thinking those things through, it becomes challenging to me why this isn't a reasonable case to grant a variance based on hardship. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I'll
make a motion that we approve 1F22BA on the basis that it's a zero lot line. And my comment there would be, I mean, with all the complexity, it seems like it is reasonable to grant this. However, it is frustrating because it feels inconsistent, and we have made we have made other applicants go jump through a lot more hoops, and so that frustrates me, but it does seem like it's maybe not worth continuing to make applicants jump through all those hoops considering the shared parking complexity and accessibility complexity. So with that, I'll make that motion.
I will second that motion.
I was going to second it.
All right, Donald, second that motion.
Is it possible to just from a commentary standpoint to make sure that somewhere in the minutes that it reflects that piece of it? I think that's part of material of me kind of switching to that point that you made about that. And just so we can go back to and reference that piece of it, just so we have it as we continue moving forward.
Okay, we have a motion to second for all those things. Already deeply discussed. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay.
Opposed? No.
One opposed. Right, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
All right. And with no further business, meeting is adjourned. Thank you. I don't think there's any further business. Is there, Peter?
Yeah, I just want to wait till she's not recording.